backfield. And the throw wide open for the touchdown, Drake London. What a start for Atlanta.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And in about an hour, we got Trey Wingo coming up on the program right now. Wanted to scout the Falcons. And since we played a Drake London clip, he has obviously become the team's number one receiving option. Leads the team with 48 catches, which is tied for fourth best in the league, and 525 receiving yards. Probably more important, though, he has five touchdowns, which through eight games is a lot. This shows some of the problems the Falcons have had in the last couple of years. Five touchdowns is already his career high.
Nice. Good for him.
Yes. Good for him. Bad for previous Falcons. When you look at Drake London on the outside, Corey, how big of a concern is that? Because I know we're going to get to Bijan Robinson, and I understand all the concerns that come along with that. But Drake London, what do we see there?
More than anything, trust from Kirk Cousins. When I'm watching him throw, he looks as comfortable in this offense as he did in the Vikings offense. Actually, he probably looks more comfortable in it because he's not asked to move. He's just like, they're trying to get the ball out quickly because of, he's not going to run around. Like Dak's not going to run around and start getting the ball out quickly. Start having planning some other things that get the ball into the receiver's hands so they can do the running. But that's what they've done a lot of. And then, you know, the addition of what Pitts is, you know, Pitts is pretty good. Mooney's pretty good. They have some dudes on that roster that they're doing a good work with. So the Drake London connection, though, he is moved all over the place. He's outside, inside, wherever, and Kirk Cousins looks completely confident that he's going to make the play.
Kirk Cousins, third in the league.
It's a day game, too.
Okay, he is kind of broken away from that stigma. Daniel Jones is fully taken over that. He's like, he can't win no matter what. That is a good point.
I feel like you should play those games at 1 a.m. so nobody watches him play.
He's got a shot. But Kirk Cousins, third in the NFL with 2,100 passing yards, has a 68.3 completion percentage. His 14 touchdowns are tied for fifth in the league. He has, however, and this is something that obviously we've been critical of Dak thus far in terms of, Dak has eight interceptions. That is way too many. Just one fewer than he had all last year.
Do you mind if, go ahead and finish that. I want to ask you a question.
Kirk Cousins has seven. So if you're looking for an opportunity to flip the field, flip the game in the air, the beginning of the season would say that is going to be made available to you.
Three of those, I believe, were in the very, very poor game he had.
That is true.
2 weeks ago.
Correct.
Very poor game where we laughed about it. But my question about Dak is his interceptions, do you think those are coming from just being poor at the position, or do you think it's because he's trying to make something happen because of where they are?
I thought the first one in the last game was a case of trying to make something happen where it just wasn't there. Look, you saw me yesterday. I inhaled and leaned back in my chair when Mickey said that Dak got hit and that's what led to the first interception. I fundamentally disagree with mm-hmm. that. I think he might have gotten hit, but he was hit at the end of his throwing motion where I thought the impact was not super big.
He's also throwing against the wind.
Like, into double coverage where the safety was all over that.
Yeah, like there is a lot that went into just Bosa caused that. That was a stupid decision.
And the other one, see, I thought he was trying to play a little like, I got to make something happen because our offense stinks there. Is the second one, I just don't think he saw it at all.
First one, too. Wasn't that near like in the 5 yard line or something like that?
Yes.
Maybe that's the old Tom Brady. This is a punt, guys. I'm just going to throw it up in the air.
Hope for pass interference.
Put them in a bad spot.
I think the question's a good question, but it's like 100% pie. It's not just one thing that's causing these. There's multiple things. And then you have to just decide what's the main reason. What's the other reasons? I think lack of separation from the receivers is causing balls to get tipped or for guys to like, I have to throw it. This is the most open Jalen Tolbert gets. This is the most open Turpin gets. This
and I don't have much time because my offensive line's not going to be there.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot that goes into
okay.
the I think at this point, the below average season Dak is having. I know they said average before
the last game. I think he would admit
that.
I don't think that's unfair.
I guess I'm going to go back to when you were talking about Drake, London, and Pitts and everything. Here's my question. You guys have watched a lot more Cowboys football than I have this year. Is this last game, Kittle killed the Cowboys.
Yep. Sure did.
I know. I'm going back to the box score. I was surprised. LaPorta only had one catch for 52 yards, and it was a touchdown. Do they look at Pitts and go, oh, this is the game because they literally don't have a human who can cover tight ends? I'm throwing that out as you talked about the weapons and you talked about the wide receivers, and then we know Bijan and then Pitts. But do teams now look at the Cowboys and go, our tight end, if we have a good one, can get 100 yards on this team?
I think that is an intriguing question. The reason why it comes at the worst time to go up against Atlanta is Atlanta in the second half, the second quarter of the season, they have figured out how they want to use Pitts. You look at those first four games, eight catches. So you're like, oh yeah, great. Last four games, 21 catches. So they have been more direct while they're still getting London the ball. You talked about all the receiving options. They've been more direct at getting Kyle Pitts the ball. And so when you go against the combination of, ooh, we're going to have some trouble guarding those tight ends, that is a bad time for the Cowboys.
You know, San Francisco early in that game got a one-on-one with Kendricks, and Kendricks got beat. I was like, oh crap, they're going to target him the rest of the night. And I didn't feel like they did the same thing, like trying to set up that one-on-one. But then when you add Bijan Robinson's ability to catch out of the backfield or Pitts, like those are great options. I did not know this, though. Darnell Mooney has 12 20-plus yard catches this year.
Is that right?
Everybody else that can be considered like a receiver on the team has two. Kyle Pitts has five, but Darnell Mooney has 12. That's a concern.
Wow.
Because he can blow up in this one. Because Diggs is going to be probably covering London as much as possible.
I would guess that.
And then whenever, you know, I don't know who you're going to have on the other side. Israel Mukwamu? Is that going to be your other cornerback? So this is a scary one for the secondary because they do have a lot of different options offensively.
It's only Wednesday. What do you guys have a percentage? Maybe it's Mickey who can tell us that Bland is going to play this week. Is it down? Is it 20%? Is it 80%? I don't know.
I thought I was closer to 85-90% last week.
More and more we hear about this, and more and more it sounds like that setback was like a
month setback.
Yeah, I don't know how long, but like a real setback as opposed to let's just be cautious with it. And I have the same concerns about Micah as well. I think we'll learn more this afternoon and then each day, because even Steven on Monday is like, I'm not sure.
I will say, talking to a doctor, the DeMarcus Lawrence injury, when it happened, they told me that is a tough injury to come back in season.
And he has a history of struggling coming back from that specific
injury. Like, if you're thinking about DeMarcus Lawrence, I'm just throwing it out there. Obviously, I'm not the doctor. I only talked to some to get an idea, and they felt like that injury when it happened, and then the diagnosis of it was an injury that they felt he was probably not going to be able to come back from in season. If he does, then it would be really tough to be the same guy to come back in season with that injury.
This is where I'm fascinated. I wish I would have asked Steven this question. Are they counting on him to be back at some point this season and making an impact? Because me personally, I'm probably not.
I think it's Steven Jones. I think he has to answer that yes. Because there's so much time left and he doesn't want to ruin hope. Look, hope is fading tremendously with the fan base. And so I don't think they can answer any of those questions honestly.
That's fair.
Because they want to give you the hope that everybody's coming back. And if we can hang in there, Bland and Lawrence and Parsons and Cooks and, you know, name a few other guys that I'm forgetting, but that they're all going to be back and we are all going to be awesome.
There's two things that I hope happens this weekend. One, that all the guys that are lashing out at the media or whoever else realize that's not the right place to put that energy, and they turn it around into their study and their work to get ready for the game. Not saying they don't. I'm just saying that now, you know what? Ramp it up. The media doesn't need to be the one that you're getting upset with. in this situation. We're just seeing what we see and talking about it. But then that part of Mike Zimmer's defense just has not looked like whole yet.
Sure.
And obviously some players missing and everything, but if they can look like a team, a defense that looks like they have a clue, that looks like they are starting to come into form, because it does, it is a change. Maybe they don't even have the personnel to do what they did from last year to this year.
Jerry admitted that, right? Yeah. He finally did. It's just crazy, you know, how he is, but he is who he is.
But if he says
they're all in, everything's great, and then you get 5 weeks into the season, he's like, well, we didn't give Zim the guys that he needs to be successful.
Yeah.
Like, then you, yeah, and you know where he's saying that, because he has no clue who's on his football team. He's saying that because in the meetings, they're telling him, Zim is telling him, this is what I want to do. This is what I would have done, but I do not have the right defensive tackles or linebackers or safeties, whatever it is, where Zim's like, this guy does not fit what I'm trying to do. And you guys don't want me to do what Dan Quinn did.
Yeah.
So what do I do here with a player who's not capable of doing this because he's not physical enough to do it?
But if they can start looking like they have they're getting what Zimmer's trying to get them to do, then that could probably that could turn everything around. Offense still has to figure something out. They got to score points. You're gonna have to score 30 in this game, probably. Like, you're gonna have to score points.
I could see that, and you're desperately gonna need more separation.
Yeah,
and you're gonna need this, and I don't think it's gonna happen the rest of his life. You're gonna need Dak to be athletic. I think that ankle is it's not done, but it is close to a 40-year-old ankle rather than a 30-year-old ankle, and he's done moving. I mean, when you're wearing boots in the off season because you're going on a fishing trip, like, that's not just for fun. That is because something's wrong. I mean, let's just be logical.
And Jerry said he's not willing to risk Dak running more.
And
so,
let's be logical about it. If this offseason we see Jacob deGrom in an elbow brace, it's not just for preventative measures. It's because something is hurting him in his elbow, and they need to stabilize it or not have it move. And so I do think for Dak, you're watching a young 30-year-old be more like an old 30-year-old. So this is going to be the difficult thing to overcome, not only this year, but for the next 3 to 4 years, is you have more of a Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe, Danny White, if you're old enough to remember this. He moves more like that than he does the Dak Prescott you were used to.
Now, I had a fun fact to throw out for you, because I'm not going to lie, I do not remember this player at all. Bijan Robinson, I remember him, has 1,522 rushing yards in his career. He's the second fastest Atlanta Falcon to reach 1,500 yards. He took 25 games. Williams Andrews did it in 23 games in the 1979 and 1980 season.
I wasn't alive, Kevin.
For the Falcons.
How would I know?
I know. I like the look on your face, because the look on Corey's face was the same way I felt when I read that name. And I was like, who the crap in hell is that? So Williams Andrews, two S's, kind of throws me off there, set the bar, and Bijan Robinson following it.
Wow.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. You're welcome.